Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series. Welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight, an online format for national dialogue about real issues that confront our families and communities. From time to time, we have guests on who have a particular expertise in a area of discussion, and they bring that to us. We're able to share in dialogue and hopefully walk away with something that is of educational value, useful. And in fact, next week we'll have a family therapist coming on with us, and we'll be talking about a very serious issue. Look for that announcement to come very soon. But this is a catalyst for our national dialogue, Building Families and Communities Institute. Yours truly, Reverend Dockery, is the host. We're grateful for you joining us tonight on Facebook, all of our friends there and our group members. If you are not there, we encourage you to come. The number to call us here live, we encourage you to call us, even if you're tuning in from Facebook. Do give us a call. We want to hear from you. We want to entertain your questions, your comments. That number to call us live on air right now is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. I hope that you join us and share with us your question, your comments. We only ask that you keep it relevant to our topic for the evening and be respectful of others' opinions. Everybody, I don't expect you to agree with everything I say, and we certainly don't expect necessarily everyone to agree with our callers. However, we hope that we'll be respectful and accept one another's positions. But do know that at the end of the show, before we're over with, if there's some sort of major conflict, we hope to bring some resolution. And as I said before, if there's need for further study and research, we'll do that, and we'll bring it back to you accordingly. All right. Pastor Ricky Wiley is our regular panelist who's been joining us. Author, Still High, a very powerful book. Often we hear of young men who've had terrible lives in urban America and who have failed, in fact died in the midst of that struggle. But God has saw fit that this gentleman has rose above the ashes and the heat of despair. He has a powerful testimony, and he put it in the form of a book, penned it in the form of a book, and it's entitled Still High. He tells you himself, when he'll be on in just a little bit. There was a time where he was looking for a high, but now he don't have to look no more because the high that God gave him, he still has after 20-some years or better. But we're grateful for him joining us, and we hope that you join us tonight again. Number 657-383-0944. Tonight we're also going to have commentary from a renowned doctor with a bent on African-American economics or black economics, Dr. Claude Anderson, who is a professor with Harvard University's Institute of Economics. I don't know if you know it, but Harvard Institute is one of the premier places to study economics worldwide, but particularly in America. And Dr. Claude Anderson, we'll hear from some of his previous lectures there, and we'll dialogue about it because it's related to our topic. All right, having said that, we're going to get to our monologue. For our new listeners, we offer a monologue at the beginning of the show. And when I say we, I'm talking about myself, me, myself, and I. And the purpose is to provide a context for our discussion tonight. And we'll revert back to that if we need to kind of keep us focused, give us some sense of direction for the next hour and a little less than an hour and a half now. We're grateful for you joining us. If you're wondering why we cut off and we don't have enough time, we're going to blame our panelist, Pastor Waller. He got the clock. I've been teasing him about sometime our conversation get pretty good and we have to bring an end to it because time has elapsed, but we're grateful for you joining us. All right, without any further ado, our monologue as such. Topic is America, money, and me. Who's got their hand in my pocket? In my walk, in my experiences, I've met a lot of people who've been trying to get that question answered. The story is told of a young man who's walking down the street with his hands in the air in a position of surrender. And all of a sudden, as he on his journey, he feels something moving in his pocket. When he looks down to see who it was, he realizes there's no one on the street save himself. He asked the question, who's got their hand? My pocket. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about that tonight. And we're going to bring that to fruition, Lord willing, for the next hour or so. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, that ought to be good news for a whole lot of folk, okay? But let's talk about this thing from economic terms and where we are today and why it is we feel like somebody is controlling our pockets. Background on economics and what it is, okay? Because we're talking about America, money, and me. Economics is a social science concerned with the production, distribution, and consumption of goods and services. It studies how individuals, businesses, governments, and nations make choices on allocating resources that will satisfy their wants and their needs. And it tries to determine how these groups should organize or coordinate efforts to achieve the maximum output of the resources available to them. The concept has biblical meaning as well. There's a phrase translated, the economy of God, and it's a quotation from 1 Timothy 1:4. According to the Greek, that's how the Greek translated, interpreted. Economy is a Greek word pronounced oikonomia, which refers to the household management, administration, arrangement, distribution, or dispensation. This principle is the bedrock of America's system of free enterprise. Okay? Those who study, master, and apply these principles to their rights of citizenship are most likely to achieve the American dream. Yes, this even includes people who are the descendants of former slaves in America. To be perfectly clear, African people were introduced to American society under the guise of chattel slavery. And, excuse me, I'm sorry, we're working with that live stream here. We're trying to manage two things here. Bear with us. As I was saying, they were introduced to America under the guise of chattel slavery for the purpose of being forced into servitude. All right? And the purpose of bringing these human beings and making them servants was so that their captors, the slave masters, could make money in America. Following this principle of free enterprise, I know that may make somebody mad, but this is the way American history is. And when we embrace that, we can learn how to overcome all of the negative aspects and residual effects of it. Okay. The institution of slavery was based on purely economic principles. It was not personal nor social. In fact, certain slave masters got a little too close to their slaves, particularly their female slaves. I'll leave that right there. Once a legally sanctioned institution by Congress in action, they didn't formally go and make a law for it, but they didn't make a law against it for a long time. But finally, it was brought to an end. Now, to the credit of a former slave who fought to make himself free, in fact, he ran away from his slave masters, Frederick Douglass, and white men who identify with one of America's longstanding political parties, the Grand Old Party, or the Republican Party, what was founded in 1854, the United States changed its position on slavery and subsequently brought an end to it. Theoretically speaking, the Negro had a shot at achieving the American dream. On December 18, 1865, the 13th Amendment was ratified. It prohibited slavery in all parts of America. You see, at first it was just the southern part of America, but it said that slavery was going in all parts of America. This congressional action legally, legislatively, made now the Negro, among others, men free. While that legislation freed the Negro, it did not ensure his equal treatment as an American citizen. However, further legislation was passed on July the 28th, 1868. It was known as the 14th Amendment and was ratified by 30 states. This particular law guaranteed now the civil rights or the humane rights and treatment of these newly freed human beings that were once slaves, these Negroes. And it also struck down the practice known as black codes in the South, shared by 14 states. Okay? And it made them illegal altogether. So essentially, now you're free. And theoretically, you're equal to be treated that way as a citizen. Okay? You're free, you're equal. However, you're still not participating in the political process of choosing those who will represent you and make laws that will govern your life as a citizen in America. Something ain't right about that, right? So the fight continued. This time, Brother Douglas said, we got to make sure we got rights of suffrage so we can participate. We thank you for setting us free, right? Thank you for making, trying to force people to accept us and acknowledge us as citizens. But now we need to be able to write. We need to be able to vote and participate in the political process. Consequently, February 27, 1870, Congress passed the 15th Amendment, providing the right of Negro males. Females still couldn't vote. That didn't come until later, until the 1800s. But males, Negro males now could vote. In fact, they took advantage of it. We talked about this in the previous show, how seven men went to Congress, the 41st and 42nd U.S. Congress. They had black men there, one in the Senate and six in the House of Representatives across the U.S. Now he was free to roam, theoretically equal with other men in a position to participate in the legislative process. Unfortunately, though, what prior and current legislation did not and can never do is to make a man, I don't care what your skin color is, avail himself to what is available to him. And the challenge that we have for descendants even of slaves and even our white brothers and sisters is that some people are looking for the law to make success happen for you. That's a misconception. It's a misnomer. Because the reality is, when you look at it, it's about America and everybody in America. It's about the money that's being produced, that's being spent, that's being changed hand to hand. And it's about you or me. So the question is, who's got their hand in my pocket? If I ain't got no money, why is it? And who got their hand in my pocket? Pastor Ricky Wallace on the line with us. The number is 657-383-0944. This is Talk Straight. Join us tonight as we talk about it. Pastor Wallace, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, sir. How you doing, Pastor Doc Rick?
Man, I'm trying to find out who got their hand in my pocket, man.
Yeah, man, you saying something right there, brother. I tell you, you know the way you put it, brother. You put it in such a way, you know. I'm talking about what a parent should do with the children and the children's children, man. How you must pass down something, but if they're empty-handed,
right.
You can't pass nothing down, man.
That's right.
And then
that's
you
right.
Spread on made the wealth of the center.
Mm.
Laid up for the church.
Right.
Now wait a minute. So let me ask a question, if you don't mind. Who
Absolutely, come on.
Who happens to be the just? I mean, you know, the words say the just shall live in faith, and I feel like, you know, I'm the just, so somebody must have their hands in my pocket. Because
you
I don't...
Faster.
Yeah.
You raised the right question right there.
I don't think we should be walking around broken, busted. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it must be the enemy, apparently, is doing, you can sure. That would always be a mentality of slavery, I guess, to another degree.
Okay.
I'm amazed by that, man.
All right. I got something for you, Pastor. I got something for you tonight.
Okay.
I got something for you. Check this out.
Yes.
Check this out. Before I go to Dr. Claude Anderson, I want you to hear about his position on people who get incarcerated, black people, and the lack of entrepreneurial pursuits or businesses. Powerful statement, man. This brother was lecturing, and it was deep. This was a few years ago, but it's heavy stuff. I think it's important for us to really think about it so that you can understand exactly who it is you can put the blame on for going in your pocket. Okay?
Yeah.
We're going to come to a conclusion. I'm gonna wrap it up. But listen at what the OJ says about money in America. I think you may have a, but listen to it. Here we go.
Yeah. Okay. About it.
Absolutely.
You know, we need information.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we need information, man. And I can see a turnaround, I guess, you know, from my point of view. I don't look at what's going on outside the arena the way I used to look at it. I used to look at it like it was the whirlwind of it, so it was just like no hope. But once I got free, I discovered now that there's hope. So when I look at these people who are captured by the mindset of not knowing, ignorant and unlearned as I once upon a time was, I see hope still. That's keeping hope alive. Let me use a scripture, and then I'm going to turn it back over to you, Pastor. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things unseen. So there's some unseen change that's going to take place in the lives of many people. And it's going to cause the enemy to recognize somebody's been awakened. You know, and that's where the hope is. I have to look at it like that. Other than that, there's no need of me talking about it. There's no need of me having a concern and things like that, man. So it's awesome, brother, that you brought that up. And you say someone have their hands in my pocket. How is it that I don't know that? You know, is it because my pocket is empty that I feel like it's something supposed to be in my pocket and it's not?
Right, right.
Or I just don't qualify for this to be in my pocket. Go ahead.
So, Pastor, the issue is the reason young people and old people are so volatile, so violent, and so seemingly ready to go to war with every and anybody is because when it comes to America and its economic system, they are ill-prepared for competition. Are you walking with me? This is what Dr. Anderson is talking about. This is what Dr. Anderson is talking about. Why is it that a brother would take a pistol and blow another brother's brains out? Because he's afraid he's going to get crumbs before he get to him. Right?
That's it,
fighting
brother.
Over
That's
dope
it.
And gangs and territory. And guess what? None of those things are going to last. But what Dr. Anderson is talking about is the fact that we are so focused on allowing something or someone else to generate what it is we use in terms of resource that we don't produce anything for ourselves.
Man.
And subsequently, we're five times more likely to go to jail than an Asian, four times more likely to go to jail than a Caucasian, three times more likely to go to jail than a Mexican.
Man, listen to that, man. That sounds like, you know, to me, that's a plan. You know, that's not something that was accidentally put together, man. That sounds like
Look
a
here.
Plan.
You're hitting on something.
Yes, sir.
You're hitting on something. We're going to get to it. Keep on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, I have been contemplating, man, for a while, you know, to wonder or to even ask this question, why do society as a whole hate the black man so much that they will
now, wait a minute now, hold on.
As long as you can, you know, to keep him down and have the statistics to remain that we are less than and always will be.
Hold it, Pastor. Hold it, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Hold it, Pastor. You heard my monologue. We were set free by the 13th Amendment.
Yes.
And we
okay.
had equal rights with everybody else by the 14th Amendment. And guess what? We have the opportunity to participate in the political process that governs and controls us as citizens, right, by voting. And selecting people to represent, they don't hate you, man. The question is, why do you hate yourself so much?
Okay.
So much so that you won't do for yourself. That's the real question.
That's it, brother. Who's causing me to be able to hate myself that much?
Wow. Wow.
That I would continue to do myself that harm. And that's what I had to
do
come to. I'm glad
harm.
You said that. I had to come to the realization of that, man. It seemed like to me that I hated myself so bad that I was trying to destroy myself by the hands of someone who gave me what I needed to do it.
Would the sister like to say anything? Would the sister like to say anything?
Just a second, man, because she has been through a lot in her life, And, you know,
okay.
God has been really good to her. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I had, you know, a desire. You know what I do out in the streets. You know, I reach out and
absolutely.
Do all I can do to help people overcome
right.
strongholds. And I mean, I when I get out there and try to get the ones that's in it real deep. And so this sister
yes.
was in it pretty deep, man, you know, years ago. And I planted the seed. You know what the word of God says. You plant the seed. Apollos put the water on it, but God would give it the increase. Well, time went by, man, and I seen her later on in the years. It went past, and she was doing well, man. And I just wanted her to say a little something, if you will.
Okay.
Allow her to.
Come on.
And, yeah, just Sister
Welcome.
Nicole.
Well, come on, Sister Nicole. Talk to me.
Hey, how you doing?
Wonderful.
You're
Thanks
live.
For joining us.
Can you thank you for having me? This is kind of
yes,
coincidence that I run across this message, but I guess, you know, they say what God has for you is for you because but from out of nowhere, I got turned around from where I was going and what I was doing, and I
mm-hmm.
end up here. I guess when you follow the will of the Lord, he lead and guide you to where he wants you to be because that's all I ever do. I humble myself
okay.
so bad. It hurts me sometimes to ask, and I have to question myself, God, where am I at and what am I doing? But
power,
and I just thank you for your message tonight because it was such a powerful message, and it was such that's what I've been asking myself: why the enemy got his hand in my pocket? Why do he got his hand in my blessings? Why is he always trying to assassinate my character?
Mm-hmm.
I've been on that message, and it's like I said, it's just such a coincidence that I end up right here and to hear this message because I've been using myself that too. Why the enemy got his hand always on me? Why he doubting me? Why he always making me want to doubt the power thereof and the things that you have for me, God, you know, and the things that
right.
you are doing for me? And why he's always trying to steer me away from your humbleness and your meekness and your real gentleness to do something different. So I just thank you for the message because I am getting something
absolutely.
Out of it, and I thank you for having me.
Well,
yes,
your
God.
Input is your input is just as important, so thank you for being here. And let me again open up the phone lines to our listening audience, 657-383-0944. If you're listening from Facebook, please give us a call. We welcome and honor your participation. We want to hear from you. We definitely want to hear from you. And Sister Nicole, Pastor Waller will tell you that it's not easy, but it's necessary for us to make some changes. And I don't mean wait until next year or next month. We need to make
That's
them right now. Because if we don't, some people are going to die. Between this time,
mm-hmm.
next week, or tomorrow, some folk are going to die,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so we're in a tight spot. The good news is there's hope for us. That's the good news.
Yes.
Now, I just want to, Pastor, you were talking about the position that many people find themselves in terms of hurting themselves. And you were also talking about how the enemy has set you up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
let's listen to Dr. Anderson, okay? Because, again, let me reiterate that it's our religious thought and beliefs, the things we say we believe in about God, they don't line up with what goes on in our day-to-day life in America often. Okay?
Right. Man.
And some of us are struggling so hard for money that we can't really focus on our spirituality. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
All the way down
Good
to
point.
The point that it dictates when you get to worship God.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So
let's listen to
what Dr. Anderson says about the role of political involvement. And let me just emphasize, let me clarify for our listening audience. Black
mm-hmm.
Law Dictionary defines a citizen as a member of a political community, okay? And I think
mm-hmm.
you heard in our monologue how we explain how Negro, black, or colored people, African Americans, came to be recognized as citizens of America. There are a lot of dirty,
uh-huh.
low-down dirty things that happen in our experience. But today the question is, your pocket.
Yeah.
who got the hand in it. And if your hand is in it, where is there room for anybody else's hand? Without a fight. Okay,
yes,
let's check
sir.
Out Dr. Anderson just for a second, right quickly.
You get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems. So that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 to 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything.
The way
did you hear what the brother was saying?
Yes, sir. I can relate to that because I'm gonna tell you something. I've been in entertainment for a very long time. I studied it.
Okay.
I was piled into it the wrong way, but I just thank God He saved me because the enemy he wanted me to rap. God gave me a good gift. The enemy tried to use me. He wanted me to rap. When I tell you. It's a lot of demons and a lot of authority behind it. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But I just thank God for the authority that He gave me by just being humble and listening to Him and learning when to move and how to move and learning who to do it for and what to do it for.
Right.
Because that's that's what He controlled most of our people in the entertainment business.
Well, that's true. And so what happens is this entertainment that you're talking about, right? It's based on the idea that you're going to feel good and you're going to make people feel good. You're going to make money making people feel good. But when they get through feeling good, when do they start facing the reality?
My goodness.
What the brother was saying is, there's critical information that need to be shared in our communities. But because we lack revenue and the avenues to get that information out, even the good news of God, we can't give to them. Now they're seeing a lot and they're hearing a lot in the media. But what they're hearing is junk food. They're on a junk food diet. Now,
I can believe it.
Pastor Wallace, go ahead. What are we going to say?
Yeah, I'm meditating on the thought, man, and I want you to know how grateful I am to really look back. You know, I think Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 says, "And this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." And so
that's
when I look back, rolling through the city today, and as I listened to what you were talking about, man, it gave me a reminder early on how bad I felt when I discovered that I'm unable to do what I would do if I had the finances that I used to have, man. I said, man, that's pretty heavy because I'm thinking about my community and all that I know that I can do to help restore it, but somebody won't release my money. According to what you brought up tonight, I've been looking in my pocket, you know, with expectations, right? And I continue to do that. But you reminded me tonight that the wealth of the sinner sound like to me that's my money. Because when I was doing all I used to do and was bringing forth a lot of money, but I was destroying lives, man. Now I get a chance to look at my community and look at the harm that I once upon a time was affiliated with,
right,
it doesn't feel good. And I know that finances have something to do with it. So it's not like money is not a necessity, because it is a need. But all I need to do now is to continue to look in my pocket. I believe that's what you're saying to me, because you're supposed to have money, man, to do what needs to be done. Just
and
like
let
you
me,
did
let
bad,
me for, before,
you can do good with it. Go ahead, Pastor.
Right, right. I apologize. Let me be more clear about what I'm saying. I agree with Dr. Anderson's premise that when you control your money through business ownership and you recycle your resources in your community and you're organized politically and you have an information source, right, and you're in a position to dictate to politicians such that they don't lie to you but they work for you, right?
Yes,
then
yes,
you're
sir.
Starting to get folk out your pocket then. Are you walking
yes,
with
sir.
Me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. See, what I'm getting is ignorance is the joker that got his hand in your pocket. The devil, the code said the enemy. The enemy has got his hand in your pocket and got you think that everybody got control of your pocket but you.
Yeah, man. Strip
now,
me.
What's
I'm talking
wrong
about
with
stripping. Man, I'm talking about put it in my mind and put it in my heart and establish it that my pocket should be empty and stay empty after all the harm that I've done. You know what I mean? What's wrong with having some, what they would call, some good money? You know, they would say all money ain't good money. Let me use this language.
Right,
money is good money. Well, what about, you know, money should be money, right? Okay,
it,
now
well,
here it is.
Money is money.
I'm willing. I'm ready. I don't mind helping my community, but where is my money?
Right.
That's the question. And I say it's got to be up to me. You know, I'm responsible for what's in my pocket, man.
That's right. Here's a reality, Pastor. Here's a reality. America was started with the intent to make money. That's what it was started from. Let's be clear. Let's be clear. Slavery was instituted to make money. You understand what I'm saying? These folks wanted to make money. So what I'm getting at is there is money or economic resource in America. The question is, why is it that we can't see it after you work 40 years on the job?
Okay.
You can't see
Excuse me. I'm not trying to cut you out. Because
no,
I'm
go ahead, darling.
Right
Go ahead.
I ain't trying to cut you out because I'm dealing with that right now. I can relate to working all of this time, and then all of a sudden the enemy still wants to keep his hand in my pocket. The enemy still wants to keep his hand in my pocket and not release all that's due to me and still pinch me and tell me this is all you need. That's not true.
That's not true.
And I don't feel like that's what God intended for his people to be, is the penny pinch. I don't believe that
that's
whatsoever.
Right.
I mean, he wants our pockets to be running over just as well as the next person. You
watch
know,
out, girl. Watch
you
out.
You have that in order for your pockets to be running over.
Amazing.
You know, he said, come before the throne of grace. And by the way, you know, long time ago, he told me, he said, if you want life, you got to have it more abundantly. And when he said that to me, I had to really address what abundantly means. That means get naked and just let go and let him have his way with me.
Mm-hmm.
And let him do all he can say that he is going to do for me. Not believing some man told me, but some God told me, you can rest assurance that it's there. Just like insurance policy. If anything happened to me, I'm supposed to be able to bury myself or bury, you know, somebody's supposed to be able to put me away nice. You see what I'm saying? So that's the key that I receive from God, because he don't let me down. He give me everything. When I say he give me everything and then some. But the enemy always want to make me feel like I shouldn't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? I've been
Nicole,
receiving from. Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You're on the roll, Nicole. You're on the roll. Pastor Nicole, listen. If
yes, sir.
A man or woman is not in control of the acquisition of their daily resources necessary to live day by day, here's what's going to happen to them. I think it was Wilson Pickett. He put it like this. This is what he said happened. Brothers and sisters, if you are not in control of your walk before God and your data acquisition of resource, that's where you are. You're just somebody's puppet. What has happened is too many people have allowed a political party, whether it's Republican or Democrat, to define how far they'll go to do for themselves. And at the end of the day, you're like a puppet on a string.
Jesus have mercy.
Go ahead.
Correct
go ahead.
Me when I'm wrong. Somebody stop me when I'm lying.
No, listen, Pastor.
You right.
You're saying
you
some
right.
things, brother, but if you don't mind, I
go
always
ahead, Pastor.
Put emphasis on the scripture now that I know a few words of encouragement that we can handle, right?
Oh.
It
yes,
says
sir.
Here
yes, sir.
In the book of Romans chapter 6, where I've always put emphasis on this, in verse 16, it says, know ye not whom you yield yourself slaves to obey. That's you. It's a prison thing. In other words, I yield over into the hand of the slave master. And it's saying, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself slaves to obey, his service you are to whom you obey, man. Listen, whether
right.
is of sins and death or obedience unto righteousness. So if I'm going to obey righteousness, then I have a right to do that. But if I yield
that's
myself,
right.
you know, to obey unrighteousness, I choose to do that. So what about me having a choice today? I think this is what you're saying.
Right. Yes.
We can thank God for it because the next verse says, but God be thanked that you were the servant of sin. In other words, you were the slave once upon a time of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So in other words, now being made free from it, you become the slave of righteousness. So if I'm made free from being a slave to unrighteousness, I mean, could you imagine, man, coming to the reality that I once upon a time was a slave when I thought slavery was over, and I still was molded into the mentality that you're still a slave because look at what you're doing and look what we're causing you to do. And now I look at it, and I'm thankful that you have to start somewhere. And everybody's not going to come to the realization, and I'm sure at the same time, because it's a whole lot of people right now is in slavery right now, man, dealing with things that's corrupting our communities. You can't teach them that. I mean, you know, they're not supposed to think that they're corrupting. They're not doing it to do harm to people, even though harm is being presented. And so what do we do now that we know? When do we exercise it? I think now is a good time.
It
and
is. Now is the time.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Nicole.
Prayer is, and then you know what? The other thing that I have received from everything, even from down the money, the enemy having his hand in our pocket. First of all, it ain't prayer. Prayer, you know, everybody keeps talking about, let's pray for this person. Let's do this. Let's do that. Prayer is good. Yes, it is. I can receive prayer all day, every day, but it is not about prayer no more. It's about doing something about it.
Action.
It's about doing something.
Yes.
Taking authority, taking charge. You
yes.
can talk about it all day, but you have to take authority and take charge. Prayer already been sitting there long enough. Now it's waiting on you to do something.
Yeah, that's it. That's
Nicole,
it. Yeah, that's,
Nicole,
hard,
I better watch you because you on fire. You on fire.
Yeah, right there now.
I got
hey,
1080
you,
on the line
you,
with me. A good evening, sir.
Real,
how are you?
Hey, Pastor. You know, she's
yes.
come a long way, but we got somebody else on the other line that's tapping in. Yeah, man, she's come a long way, man. She's excited about life now. And, you know, it's just a good thing to just every now and then see the fruit of your labor. You know, God will
sure.
allow you to you know, put the seed down, and then later on they'll come back with the gratitude, and you
praise
get a
God.
Chance to see the fruit of your labor. But go ahead. You had somebody that was tapping in.
Praise God. We're talking about America, money, and me. Who got their hands in my pocket. 10-8, I believe that's Brother Charles. How you doing this evening, sir?
All right, I'm doing pretty good, man.
Good, yeah, good, good.
Charles.
I don't know if you've been able to keep up with our conversation there, Charles, but what we've been listening to some of the lecture of a Dr. Claude Anderson, a gentleman who has, he's a pretty well-known scholar about black economics and how Negro, black, and colored people could and should improve themselves and be less in a position where they feel like somebody got their hand in their pocket, right? Which, in my view, is a very important topic of conversation. Pastor Waller was just talking about slavery, and he was coming from a biblical perspective about how one becomes a slave. Nicole backed him up by saying you basically become a slave by inaction. Right? She said you got to get up and do something. You know, you got to put some shoe leather, Nicole, on your face so you can start walking. I wish I had a witness. I didn't come to preach that. But I know she's right about it. I know she's right about it. Now, here, Pastor, that was a good segue because Dr. Anderson talks about what happened after slavery and consequently how that has affected where we are in 2017. This is November the 9th, 2017. And there are still people, sir, who mind mentally. No, 13th Amendment set you free. 14th Amendment said you got equal rights. 15th Amendment said go out and vote. But vote for what? And for who? And how? Yeah, what's it doing for you? Let's listen to Dr. Anderson for a second, and then let's talk about it on the other side.
All right.
First came out of slavery, blacks were relatively successful because they understood the importance of one thing, and that was to learn how to own and control, get resources, because that was the whole purpose of slavery. Slavery was basically to maldistribute almost 100% of all this nation's wealth, resources, privileges, controls of all levels of government into the hands of the dominant white society. And it was very effective. It did an excellent job. And slavery came into existence in the 1500s. It had a very specific purpose. Slavery was an economic issue, not a social issue. And so black folk learned that even as slaves, they might not have been well educated, but they weren't stupid. They figured out that he who owns and controls has the power. And so when slavery ended in the 1860s, by 1866, at that point in time, they learned something else from the radical Republicans who came out and said that black people in America can only be one or two things. Either you're going to be slaves or you're going to be free. To be free, you must minimally, these blacks must minimally, 5 million, almost 5 million blacks must minimally have 40 acres of mule and $100 given to them coming out of slavery if they're going to play this game. Because at that time in slavery, black folk were the primary generators of wealth on the earth. This country had invested over $8 billion just into slavery. That was more money than all the businesses and all levels of government put together. And black folk as slaves, they knew the importance of wealth and owning and controlling it. And they want that 40 acres and a mule and $100. And Congressman Thaddeus Stevens, Charles Sumner, and Benjamin said that on the floor of the United States Congress in the 1865 Civil Rights Law. Give black folk 40 acres, a mule, and $100. And Andrew Johnson became the president after Lincoln's assassination. He killed the bill. They came back again in 1866 again and said black folk have to have resources to be able to compete. And then later on they converted that to the 14th Amendment in 1868. But in the meantime, black folk left slavery, not owning and controlling anything. Black folk left slavery after 400 or 500 years, penniless, poor, disorganized, no religion, no clothes, no food, no animals, no home, no land, no tools, no weapons, nothing.
Charles.
Charles.
Are we still in slavery, brother, 2017?
Man, we still here.
And who got the hand in your pocket?
Yeah.
Somebody help me out tonight. Who got the hand in your pocket?
Everybody, man.
Now, if you listen to this, Charles, it could make you angry, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, when you study your history and you study the history of where you are, you learn how to position yourself not to be a slave, but to be free in thought and in action. Nobody's stopping you from, Charles, owning your own business.
Right.
Nobody's stopping you from putting the work in. Now, you got to be realistic. We talked about that Tuesday. You got to be realistic about what you're pursuing, right, and what you want.
Yeah.
Right. But nobody's stopping you from doing that. You got young cats out here, they on their grind trying to eat. But, Pastor, what they don't realize is you're just like the wolf in the Arctic. Hunters would take a blade in the Arctic, right, where wolves were, that had fine fur because they wanted to sell it and make money off of it. They put a blade in the ice, right? And they put a little blood from an animal on the blade. Well, that wolf, because it's attracted by blood, will go to the blade, lick on it, not knowing that blade has cut the wolf's tongue, and he's licking his own blood until he licks himself to death, and the hunter don't have to worry about wrestling.
My goodness, man. Listen to that. Sound like a trap to me.
That's a trap.
Yes, sir.
That's a trap. And when you think about it, people that have been impoverished, that are impoverished, are so desperate for their come up and their breakout that they will do some of everything to get that money, like the OJ is talking about. You wearing up somebody's puppy.
Ooh, Jesus.
Go ahead, Nicole.
I'm sorry I'm going to cut you off. Even keep letting the laws of the world control them. Because even like I've really been like fed up like with some of the laws that people say, well, I work for this company, and I didn't make the rules. I just enforced them. I'm like, some of them rules for that company, it don't even sound too good. I mean, are you seriously, you telling me this is the authority that you chose to keep living under?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just bothers me, but I ask God to give me strength.
Go ahead.
You know what some people are able to do, Nicole? Right. You know what some people are able to do, Nicole? They're able to go and create them a gated community, and they create their own laws in their community.
Yes.
Are you walking with me?
Yes.
The reality is that, and Dr. Anderson is going to talk about this in just a little bit in the next clip, but we literally have more money than we realize come through our hands.
Because
of our, I'm saying our now, and this is why I point this out, because there's a certain thing, Charles, called the black intelligentsia. In other words, the educated black folk, African Americans. Mm-hmm. And I'm always saying that God bless you with an education, you ought to use it to bring your people out of Egypt, out of bondage. And we're not talking about a physical bondage, but a mental bondage. You understand what I'm saying? And if we can't do that, our education ain't worth the paper that's written, the little degrees, the ink that's on the paper that your little degree has. I'm talking about myself now. My point is that because we fail to take advantage of what's available to us, we find ourselves entrapped like that wolf, trying to eat, not realizing we're only killing ourselves.
Yes,
that's
what I'll
help you with.
Amen. It's like an intentional foul, you know, when one is going to the basket in a basketball game. And you know the person is getting ready to lay this ball up because he's almost there. And then here you come and clothesline him with the intent to bring him. Yeah, with the intent to bring him home. Not to stop him from making that shot, but to bring him home.
Right.
But the next time he goes in there, he'll be thinking about the wrong that he brought. You know? I even look at the deeper level of the scripture when it says, being then made free. I like that part. Being made free, meaning we wasn't released from slavery. We were made free.
Watch out now. Yes, sir.
There's a difference.
Sir. Yes.
Now, you don't realize it, and that's the difference. You know, I'm thinking that, okay, they let me free. No. No way, man.
Jesus.
No, we were made free. And that's why God said, and you should know the truth.
Yes.
And the truth
and
will make you
free. Watch it now.
So it had to be, man, that you had to learn truth in order to get free. So it's amazing, man. I tell you, it's amazing. Not knowing the truth would harm you. I don't know about you, but, man, it harmed me big time not knowing the truth. I thought I knew the truth.
Yes.
It wasn't the truth, man. I was living a lie.
I want to hear from Brother Charles. Brother Charles, what do you think about what Anderson was saying?
It's kind of hard to respond to. So I heard like pieces of just the way, you know, they were saying back in my phone. I was grabbing just like different pieces of what they were saying. But, yeah, it's like we still living in that world today, though, a little bit to me.
Oh, hey.
Mm-hmm.
The good news, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you saying?
No,
okay. I thought you were saying. No, the good news is that it's the knowledge, Pastor, the truth that makes us free. Now, I find that a lot of my people, and you know, I'm not just saying it's black people. There are white people that have the same issue, but certainly most of the folk I know. When you bring them the truth, it's so strong. The Bible said the word cut like a two-edged sword. Amen?
Well,
and when the truth comes, they put up a shield against it because it hurts.
Good
now, Nicole, I think I'm good looking. But every day I get up and look in the mirror, I find the truth out. The thing is, I got to accept the man in the mirror, though, right?
Yes.
And what I got to do, Nicole, is tell myself, I don't care what Charles or Pastor Wallace think about how I look. I know I look good today. That's what I got to tell myself. That's my truth, see? And that'll help me go all day long. But
regardless of what you may have on your face or your neck or your head or whatever, regardless of what, you know, you got to love yourself.
You have to be true to yourself, right?
Yes.
You have to be true to yourself, right?
You know what? Love has to come within so powerful to the point that your mama or your mama who had you can see you ugly. And that won't even bother you. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
It gotta be that powerful to the point where whoever gave birth to you, they can say whatever they want to say about you. That's not what it is. You understand what I'm saying? It won't bother you. It's gotta be that powerful.
I believe you snuck, Nicole, I think you snuck a preacher in on me. But that's all right, though. That's all right.
There's nothing but the education of God. There's nothing but the education of Him.
Okay. We have another 26 minutes, and there are two questions that I want to pose, and I'd like to answer before we leave the night. Because as we share this information in other areas of the cities, I wanted to be clear the resolution, Pastor. I asked the question, who got a hand in my pocket? I want us to know who it is. And I think we are coming close to discovering whose hand is in our pocket. But this is the question I want to ask. One of the questions I want to ask. If I'm wearing both of my shoes, the right and the left shoe, right? Is there room for anybody else to walk in them?
No, sir. No, sir.
So, Pastor, right, how are you going to steal my shoe? How could you steal my shoe if I'm controlling?
Come on now.
Should have been fitting. Yeah, they should have been fitting now, very well, just for you. But,
look, Pastor. I catch Charles walking on Charlotte in my shoes, man. Where you get them from?
Hey,
Charles, what's
man.
Wrong with them?
Man.
Watch this, Charles. Watch this, Charles. Some kind of way you have to come where my shoes are kept, right? In my circle, in my surrounding, and you have to get close enough to me to first know where they are and know how to access them. Are y'all walking with me? I gotta open myself up to you, Charles. Are you with me? Where I'm going is I'm trying to lead us up to Dr. Anderson here, because when we get this last piece from him, I want to pose those two questions and answer them to us. We got about 24 minutes before we leave tonight. I want to get that done. But listen, Charles, you have to be careful, and you have to guard what's most dear to you in terms of your community and your immediate environment. And you ain't got – you really can't afford to fool with everybody if you're going to be successful.
Right. That's true.
Because everybody ain't good for you. Let's listen to Dr. Anderson for a second. And he's talking about how to bring about proactive change for black people who are concerned about America, how money is spent and used on them and themselves. Okay? Last thing.
See, and you cannot, it's impossible in theory and practice to acquire wealth and power or to be economically competitive without a community. And right now in America, black folk do not have not one single solitary community in America. You cannot prosper, you cannot compete. It's gonna be very difficult for black folk even to survive under the present circumstances because they don't have communities. All black folk got are neighborhoods. A neighborhood is like a bucket with a hole in it. A neighborhood is where you eat and sleep. A community is where you store your values, your history, your wealth, your power, your resources, your jobs, your tax base. And most of these neighborhoods have gotten so bad, so crime-ridden and run down and so dysfunctional that the neighbor has moved and all you got left is a hood. There's nothing left in them. We have a ranking order of acceptability in our society based on skin color, going white, yellow, brown, black. It's in a descending color order, going from the whitest to the darkest. And the wealth is also distributed along the same lines. The whites at the top got the wealth, power, and resources going down. It trickles down, all the way down. The power and resources, as they go up and down, the further you go away from the whites, the thinner it becomes, the weaker it becomes. And black folks are not that silly. They can say, consequently, if I want something, I'm going to try to identify with anything as close to white as possible. And that's why you come up this saying all the time about white ice is colder than black ice. They want to identify with it. But they never have to understand that rather identify with it, why don't you go acquire your own? Then your black ice to be just as cold as white ice. Black folk on an aggregated, national, disposable basis of collected income, they might be the ninth richest nation on earth. Right now, if I take all the black folks' money annually and aggregate it, they might be rich. They're richer than maybe Sweden, Canada, India, Pakistan, a whole bunch of countries, Thailand, folks most all put together. But the difference is, what I keep trying to tell blacks, it doesn't make any difference because it's not aggregated. If you aggregate something, you strengthen exponentially the power of it.
Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic. America, money, and me. We've got their hand in my pocket. Your host, Rem Dockery, 657-383-0944. You still got 20 minutes to get in where you fit in. Charles.
Yes, I'm still here. Uh-huh.
Did you hear what the brother was talking about the community, man?
I did, man. I feel like, we definitely we lacking that. It's like he said it bitch is like a bucket with a hole in it, because you know, and we work every day, and it's like, and you just think about, just look at your life and how hard you done work and how many hours and days you done put in it. What do you really have to own? It's like everything I got, pretty much, I'm still renting. I worked a whole lifetime. It seems like how is it possible? I mean, I done put in a lot of man hours, even though I'm self-employed. It's still a systematic way of how they're robbing us, even not for our will, because we don't have a community.
Watch out, young man.
Because
even though we work every day, it's supposed to be something. It should be something like in the pot, like how we work, and it's supposed to be like a pot that's still controlling the stuff that we're lacking. It's supposed to still take care of our necessities that we're still trying to achieve. We don't have nothing taken care of there. It's like everybody got the ideas, but we don't have a place to put our money in that's going to guarantee our success in our future. And everybody else has theirs.
That's right. That's
right. Man, man.
You know what I told my son, Charles? He's starting his life, man. He's off in college. I told him, as you begin to find friends, Charles, define a friend like this. Get you 10 friends. And each one of them, at any moment's notice, should be willing and able to put $1,000 together with yours. Are you with me?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
And that means all of you all collectively got $11,000 to kick off anything y'all want to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have cats that start hearing and hollering and making excuses about why they couldn't, be ready to put your grand in, too. But if you have cats hearing and hollering and complaining about why they can't put in, guess what? That's just an associate. That ain't no friend of yours. Are you walking with me? That's how you build community. That's how you build community. See, you're young now. And some of us ain't going to get that time back. But when that's what we got to teach our young people. Build bridges and build support bases with serious-minded people. And you can see something for your labor 30 years from now.
That's right. That's right.
I'm downstairs right now, man. I don't think it's too late. I still believe it's time.
Absolutely. As long as you're alive. Nicole, what were you saying?
I was telling my kids the same thing. I've been telling my kids the same thing. And, you know, they got a mentality. They like, I don't want to own no business. I don't want no business. I'm like, well, do you want to work for somebody for the rest of your life? Like, I really, literally been preaching that to my kids. Like, right now my kids can have their own business at the age of 18. They like, we don't want no business. I'm like, why you want to work for somebody else? I don't get that. I don't get that. I said, Lord, please help me. I don't get it why people, like, have that opportunity. But, you know, it's nothing but the enemy. Because I'm telling you, he gets mad when something good is going to pop out. He always want to try to keep it down, you know.
Right.
So, but God wants
let me shoot these two questions.
Do and how to do it. So,
let me shoot these two questions and then get the answers to them, okay? First question. Little buddy. Walking down the street with both of his hands elevated in the position of surrender. Suddenly, he felt a movement in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that both his hands were preoccupied, he looked to see who had their hand in his pocket. But when he looked down, there was nobody except him on the block.
Mm-hmm.
He kept on asking, nobody. Who got their hand in little buddy's pocket. Here's the answer. Now,
what is it?
Consider that our greatest enemy is the inner me that's within us.
That's it.
Little buddy was walking a path in ignorance with the mentality mm-hmm. of self-defense. When he realizes that no one puts in or takes anything, money or value, out of his pocket that he is in control of, he's watching and keeping an eye on, he will no longer be under the illusion that somebody else has got their hand in his pocket.
That sounds like he was going so fast he didn't even recognize it. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's how fast it's gone, man.
It was
going that fast with me.
When you got limited resources, you're forced to spend your money places you wouldn't willingly do on your own.
That's
what I'm recognizing. Cause I don't believe people consciously making these decisions. It's just like when it's in your face, it's like you have no choice but to spend that. And that's a problem, right? That's what we suffer from. We forced to spend our money places that's not supporting us back.
But watch this, Charles.
In America. Within America.
Watch this, Charles. I'm guilty of it. You'll go spend your money at a restaurant rather than save that money or spend it on something that will last for a whole 5 days.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed how much you spend in 2 days at a restaurant, and you could have bought a whole week of groceries.
That's true.
You're right.
Now, I'm going to get in trouble, Nicole. I'm going to get in trouble. But rather than buying extensions for my hair, what else could I do with that money?
You can save it. Because I know I'm a firm believer of saving.
I mean, you see what I'm saying, Nicole? Mm-hmm. But like y'all say, we often feel as though we're forced to shop at the stores we shop and to buy mm-hmm. the material things that we buy. No, you got a choice. You ain't got to. That's your money. You ain't got to spend it there. And if somebody don't show you respect, you ain't got to give them your money. I wish I had a witness today.
That's true.
Hey, Pastor, but when you're forced to do it, now look at the word and the power thereof of the word force versus mm-hmm. a choice.
Uh-huh.
When you force something, it's because of the label that comes within it. You know, there's so much power in what you see. That's why he tells us to walk by faith and by sight. Because once mm-hmm. you see that, you want to do it with that little money that you just got, you understand? That belongs to you, and you know you really didn't want to spend it, but once they put it in your face, or you just heard about it, I mean, things like that would cause people to go and just to see, and then the purchase is on. And it's amazing that the word that Charles used, I like that word, man, because don't you know when you become addicted to something, you know, and you really don't want to spend the money on it, but you're forced to do it, whether you like it or not.
Unless you're going to do it without.
Yeah, you're forced, man. That's a word, man.
Well, so, Nicole, you say do without. How about do something else? Sometimes you don't have to just do without anything. It's about making a conscious choice to do something else that's more frugal or fruitful in the end.
Yes,
right?
That's true.
But if you don't know no better, like Charles say, you just run like a hog to the slaughter.
Yes,
you follow the rest of the hog to the slaughter.
Yes,
let me throw this last question in there, then we'll wrap it up. We got a few more minutes here. Recognizing the irrefutable fact, you can't deny it, that America has a dark history related to Negro, Black, Colored. Now we call ourselves African American people. How realistic is it for anybody to think that America's system of free enterprise is going to change anytime soon? That's the question. Now, here's the answer. Historically, the motive of the founding fathers of America was to have the freedom of self-determination. That intent is backed by military might, legislative will, and capitalistic practices. It is unrealistic for anybody to think that they're going to change these folk minds in America to protect what they got without a war, just like the Revolutionary War that was fought from 1760 to 1791. You got to put up a fight. Don't take what these folk got.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yes, sir.
It's not about life, though. I mean, they brought us over here the way they brought us over here. I don't think they really negotiate that.
No. No, sir.
But what does that say for my people, though? It's like that'd be like talking in the Bible. That could be like the end of the world type stuff, though. But that's one thing is either we go, I don't know. That's scary, though, man. It's like, that's the only option.
Here's the comfort, Charles. Here's the comfort. What was obtained in, and I mentioned this in the monologue, you got to force those people to hold true to what they say in the 13th Amendment, 14th Amendment, 15th Amendment. Huh? The Fifth Amendment. Let's go back to the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are what? Created equal.
Yeah.
You
got to
hold them. That's the truth.
You do. That's true.
What you say about the truth, Pastor Wally?
You make it free, brother. You know, that's what it
now,
does to make you. You know, free. It's supposed to make you that way.
Right. One of our problems, though, is when it comes time to making decisions, like voting, we vote jokers in, and I don't care if they green. Now that means it don't. So you know, I don't care if they green, I don't care if they black either. Then you don't put the wrong person in office. Give me 1 second. I got a caller from 678-0405. Welcome to. We're just about wrapping up here. Go ahead, caller. You want to talk straight?
This is Sister Nicole. I just had called in because
we didn't
get some direction.
Okay. But you've been with us, right,
yes,
Nicole?
Sir.
All
yes,
right,
sir.
Great. Charles, were you saying something earlier?
I mean, they know what they put us through. They put us through, and they know the reason why we ask for what we ask. That's what we lacking. But they know they winning so much in the greed, and it won't. I don't believe it's gonna let us. That's how they making their living off us. They live off our labor. If we give that up, that means they gonna have to go back out there and work. I don't think they want to work no more.
Yeah. There's an author wrote a book entitled The Day of Absence, and it was a fiction book, and it was about how the slaves left the plantation, and it left slave masters without workers, and they panicked, and they freaked out because they didn't have nobody else to exploit. I'm suggesting that some kind of way, Charles, that's where we need to position ourselves to be just like that tale in that book. Well, folk have to figure out to do something else. You ain't going to use me no more. Get your hand at my pocket. Anything wrong with
that?
That's what I'm saying. Get your hand at my pocket.
Yeah, that's what
it's ignorance.
Most people sleep on that, so I think they're gonna continue to do it as long as people are not talking about it. I mean, we have little private groups we speak, but until it becomes public and apparent, and it's aware that everybody around is awakened by it, they're going to have to do something about it. But I feel like a lot of people sleep, and they just made it their way of life. So it's kind of almost like we're teaching the kids the wrong thing out here by cooperating and doing the same thing.
Right. I mean, the truth is, Charles, as you're saying, you're right on it, brother. You got to permeate your communities with that conversation in order to move to the action. But you're right. There are certain things and incentives to being quiet and not saying anything. Just go along to get along. But at the end of the day, you still find yourself struggling. Right?
Right. Right.
And where do you find you when you could have said something and you could have done something? That time is gone now. You're just a little bit deeper in the mud now. But the good news is that we can make it. And the answer to the question, who's got the hand in your pocket, I'm saying that it's ignorance that got us where we are. And when we know, we seek for and know the truth, it can make us free and get everything and everybody out of our pockets. We got about 5 minutes here, unfortunately, and we're going to wrap it up. Pastor, you got the final thought, man. Tell us a little something. Nicole, are you still there?
No, she had to step out for a second.
Okay. Pastor, go ahead and give us a final thought. Wrap us up here. We got about 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes to go.
And I'll tell you one thing. I'm just glad to know that the word stands firm when it says, whether there's two or three gathered together in his name. Yeah, he'll be in the midst of him. So we just want to keep pleasing God, man, for coming together, you know, putting information out like this, you know, that's going to benefit others, and just keep lifting him up. And the number one thing is always have him in the midst, man, and I think everything will work itself out like it's doing right now. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. What I mean
right
by that
time.
Is Isaiah said it in the 40th chapter, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We're getting stronger while we're waiting on him to bring forth a change because we have a desire to do something different. So just be encouraged for all of those who tune in that more will be revealed.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. Charles, anything you want to add before we get out of here, man?
I agree with Pastor Wallace. I agree.
Okay. Yes, by way of announcement, Tuesday, we got a special guest coming out of Illinois who's going to be, she's a therapist. And she's one of our group members, actually. And Miss Carter is her name. Look for the announcement. She's going to give us some insight, Pastor, on these young men who struggle with their identity as men and the pressures that they have from not only society, but from within their homes with their mothers about their identity as men and what's expected of them. And the confusion is, ain't nobody taught them how to be a man.
Right.
So how do you hold them to that expectation, right? But we're grateful for each of you that have tuned in with us tonight. We're going to get out of here, and we're going to leave on a positive note. Please go to www.bfcinstitute.com and support our cause. Pastor Wallace's book is on the web page in the back store. It's called The Back Room. And you can click on there and see the book still high. This brother's been busy doing his thing, and we appreciate him offering support to us. Every time you get those books, he'll make a contribution. But we thank you there. Your contribution is tax deductible and paid via PayPal. This is giving season now. We want you to give. We thank you for listening to us. You can do that without any cost. We ask with that, it's about time for us to get a look for us Tuesday night. Special guest will be Miss Celia Carter, a therapist who's worked as a family therapist. We're going to talk about it and hopefully bring some closure and understanding to some things. But this is Talk Street. This is your host. And we're going to leave on the thoughts. Stevie wanted to talk about superstition and some things that ain't right. Some things ain't right, but we're going to change them. Meet us again next Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. on Talk Street.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I've been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.